Well, howdy ho, everyone. Welcome, my engineering compatriots, to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. This here electronic engineering podcast brought to you by eejournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Now, we all want perfect pixels, right? Just like we want perfect abs. But a perfected pixel may be a lot easier than getting your abs in shape. I mean, who has time for that business, right? Yes, we are talking about how we can all get the big screen to fit into our pockets this week. Please welcome Peter Carson from Pixelworks. Peter and I are chatting about image processing, preserving artistic intent, and what sets Pixelworks away from the rest of the pack in that pixelated landscape. Let's go. Hi, Peter. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. It's my pleasure.
Okay, so first off, what is Pixelworks all about?
Pixelworks is a NASDAQ-listed company with over 22 years of market leadership in image processing. What that really means is we make video and display across virtually every screen look a lot better.
So, Peter, tell me a little bit about the technology at the heart of your image processing.
The image processing technology has the dual benefit of enhancing visual quality on any screen. So essentially we have display processing technology that gives you better visual quality, but also preserves artistic intent. And those two objectives often tug against one another. The solutions that we have span a number of different markets. The traditional market that the company was built on was the business and education market. We still maintain the number one position there in the projector display processor business. We are the number one market share leader in digital LCD projectors. That is the mature business that really funds the three new growth areas of the company: mobile, home entertainment, and content. Now, in content, we have technology called TrueCut, which delivers to filmmakers for the very first time the ability to finely tune and control motion on screen. And the challenge with today's content is Hollywood typically films in 24 frames a second, and you're looking at that content on a screen that's refreshing at a rate of up to 120 times a second. So the content doesn't always look the same on every screen, and our technology allows content creators to give any kind of frame rate appearance they want. So if they want to tell a story in the old-fashioned 24 frame per second look, they can record the entire movie up to 120 frames a second, but still give it that old-fashioned look and feel for storytelling purposes. So that's the content side of the business, and that starts in the big screen, but ultimately will be available on small screens like your smartphone. In mobile, we have figured out in our years of display processing and in the content business how to take big screen display technology and shrink it into a tiny, inexpensive processor that can deliver very high quality, big screen-like experience on a small screen. And interestingly, when you're looking at your 5 or 6 inch smartphone from 1 foot away, it's analogous to looking at the big screen from about 10 feet away in terms of the number of pixels that you see with your eye and the detail that you see. So quality does matter. And as you've seen from a lot of smartphone manufacturers, display is one of the number one selling points, display quality in the premium tier. What we do uniquely in the mobile business is bring that big screen premium experience from the premium tier into the affordable mid-range phone. What we deliver is HDR, the most advanced form of video technology in an affordable smartphone in the mid-tier. But our technology makes every smartphone look better.
So, Peter, you guys had some really interesting announcements at IFA this year. Tell me more about those.
Yeah, at IFA in Berlin, two of our customers announced new phones in the mid-range. Nokia 7.2 and the Nokia 6.2 were announced by HMD with the Pixelworks processor. And the unique aspects of those phones are that for about $349 US, the Nokia 7.2 brings what would otherwise be a flagship tier HDR video quality experience to that device. And the Nokia 6.2 has the same compelling, vivid display, selling for around 200 euro. It has not been released yet in the U.S. market, so I don't know what that will sell for in the U.S. market. TCL also re-entered the smartphone market with a smartphone called TCL Plex, which also uses Pixelworks visual processor to deliver the same compelling, high-quality visual experience and HDR quality.
Okay, Peter, so what do you think sets you guys away from the rest of the pack?
The things that we do best in the mobile business that we believe distinguish us are all the aspects of delivering high-quality video and gaming. You know, with 5G networks coming along, video and gaming will take center stage. And to deliver the highest quality video, you need to have expertise in motion processing, bridging this gap that I talked about earlier between the content format and the display. Frame rate is just one aspect of it. Adapting to the light around you, the mobile experience is all about the viewing environment. So our technology actually adapts the contrast and the display brightness, even the color tone of the display to match the color temperature of the light around you, so you have a consistent look and high quality visual experience. We also do this in a very power and cost efficient way, which is very unique in the industry. To otherwise have features like HDR and the ability to scale all of your content up to HDR-like quality, you typically have to buy in at the flagship tier phones to get those features. But since we have very small processor that's optimized to do just those functions, we actually sit between the smartphone processor and the display and take all the content that's coming to your display and enhance it, enhance the picture quality, the contrast, the sharpness, and the way it looks in all kinds of ambient light. And that's what really distinguishes us in the market, is delivering flagship features at an affordable price in a smartphone.
All right, Peter, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you're a bit of a foodie, so what's your signature meal? What do you make if you want to really impress someone?
Well, I go with the foolproof recipe that I've refined over the years for authentic thin crust pizza. And I've got a few secrets that enable that dish to be consistently authentic no matter what oven you cook it in. And that is the challenge, by the way.
All right. That sounds excellent to me. Well, Peter, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Well, thank you, Amelia. Really appreciate your time.
Speaking of perfect pixels, let's bring in a little news you may have missed. Robots are taking our jobs again. Addition. Now, we all know about drones in cinematography, right? Drones have been used in a wide variety of ways in movies for quite some time now. But they have always been flown with the help of a human cinematographer. Well, until now. A team at Pittsburgh's Carnegie Mellon University is looking to take the human out of this equation. Eventually, and turn our hardworking cinema drones into self-directed aerial cinematographers. And how exactly are they going about doing this? Well, the process starts with a neural network training technique called deep reinforcement learning. So, first, human volunteers watch computer-generated photorealistic scenes that have been filmed with a variety of distances and from different points of view, from the back, from the left, right, etc., and where subjects were also placed in different locations within each shot. Then these volunteers gave scores to each of these computer-generated shots. And from there, this deep reinforcement learning trains the system on which shots or which combination of those shots are best, or the most preferred by the audience. So, for instance, this system found that frequent angle changes in a shot helps hold the audience's interest. But if they change too often, it gets annoying. Or when a follow-behind shot, you know, when a drone trails a subject in a car or something like that, it will get boring if it goes on too long. I mean, we all know this kind of stuff, but training a drone to think this way? Interesting, right? This system actually uses LiDAR to map its surroundings, which also helps it anticipate its trajectory as it moves through the frame, and also helps it not block out those actors' faces, which is good. So, robotics PhD student Rogerio Bonatti puts it like this. He says, We're putting the power of a director inside the drone. The drone positions itself to record the most important aspects in a scene. It autonomously understands the context of the scene, where the obstacles are, where the actors are, and it actively reasons about which viewpoints are going to make a more visually interesting scene. It also reasons about remaining safe and not crashing, which is also good. As you can probably imagine, this type of drone technology could easily be used in a lot of other applications, like surveillance or Skynet, for instance. So if you want even further information about this super cool new study, I've included a link below the player that will take you to an article called Putting the Power of a Film Director in an Autonomous Drone. Now, can everyone tell that I love machine learning stories? If you're a longtime listener of Fish Fry, you will know this is true. And maybe you're a machine learning lover yourself. Or maybe you just want a deeper dive into machine learning, hosted by me. Oh yes, then you should definitely check out my newest episode of Chalk Talk called Machine Learning at the Edge. In this episode of Chalk Talk, Anthony Huerica of NXP and I chat about the ins and outs of machine learning and the NXP IEQ machine learning software development platform. And you can check out this awesome episode of Chalk Talk. By the way, it has a great chalkboard introduction, if I do say so myself, by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, by heading on over to YouTube/EEJournal, or check out the Chalk Talk section of eejournal.com. You'll find a whole bunch of Chalk Talks there. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, youtube.com/EEJournal. It is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out the Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I love that stuff, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of October 18th, 2019, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.